Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC, and what is the most helpful approach to children in school dealing with trauma? One of my next guests is a leader in the movement away from so-called trauma-informed care to what he calls healing-centered engagement. The word healing is important there because it treats the child as more than just the trauma, the bad things that happen to them. And the word engagement is important there because it embraces not just a personal psychology approach to traumatized kids, but also a political one. We'll explain. With me now, Sean Ginwright, Education and Africana Studies Professor at San Francisco State University, author of books including Hope and Healing in Urban Education, How Urban Activists and Teachers Are Reclaiming Matters of the Heart. And here in New York, David Kenner, Director of Development for Counseling in Schools, a New York nonprofit that promotes the emotional and social growth of children. Counseling in Schools is sponsoring some New York events coming up this month around these themes at the School of Visual Arts on West 21st Street in Manhattan under the titles In My Power, In My Truth, and The Future of Healing in Schools. We'll tell you about those. So Professor Ginwright and David Kenner, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Professor Ginwright, can you tell us the story you write about of your student named Marcus and how he changed your thinking about how to help him overcome a trauma?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been working with young people for a number of years, dealing with various types of trauma. Not long ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I was trained in trauma-informed care. And part of my training was really to get young people to recount, talk about, sort of navigate the emotional challenges that come with various exposures to trauma. In our healing circle at the community college, not far from where I live, we were having a healing circle and young people were talking and sharing what had happened to them. And it was probably about the third or fourth meeting when Marcus stopped us in the middle of our sharing and he said, "You know, I'm actually tired of talking about the worst thing that ever happened to me. I'm more than just my trauma." And when he said that, I actually didn't take it seriously, right? Hmm. I thought he was being sort of disruptive. But the other young men in the group began to agree with him. And they began to talk about their hopes and their dreams and their future aspirations. And as I left there that night, I began to really do some deep rethinking about some of the limits of the ways I was trained around trauma-informed care, and to really rethink the significance of having a healing-centered approach, which is holistic and takes in consideration not just the worst thing that happened to young people in terms of their trauma, mm-hmm. but forces us to think about their future and their goals and their hopes and their dreams, and as well as the structural issues that created the trauma in the first place.
Well, so that's just what I was going to follow up on. You mentioned structural issues. Where does politics come into it?
Well, trauma doesn't happen by accident, right? Trauma happens disproportionately in poor neighborhoods of color. Oftentimes, this particular type of trauma, in New Orleans, that was a natural disaster. The disproportionate exposure to trauma was in Black and brown communities and community violence. Uh-huh. And so when we talk about trauma, we also have to think about the root causes and the structural realities that create trauma. And that's poverty, joblessness, and all the kind of conditions that really shape and limit the full human potential of all of our communities. And so healing-centered engagement takes in consideration the ways in which trauma, the root causes of trauma, but it also encourages and supports and provides pathways for those who have been exposed to trauma to engage politically are in changing those root causes.
So, David, let me get David into the conversation. And David Kenner, can you tell us more about your organization, counseling in schools, and what kinds of children and situations your group is most commonly involved with in New York City schools, and how you apply the ideas that Professor Ginwright was just describing?
So we can actually start from where Sean was talking about. We do a lot of training of teachers and counselors, as well as, you know, we're in about 70 sites across the city, shelters, public schools, and we're engaging with, you know, thousands and thousands of students and children and families. And one of the workshops, I had my Marcus moment when I was doing a workshop, because I came through the trauma-informed lens also. Hurricane Sandy came, and the government launched something called Project Hope. And so it sounded very hopeful, and it really was. But, you know, when you look at trauma work, they talk about it from, especially when it's disaster-related trauma, not the expansive trauma that Sean is referring to as well, but they talk about returning to normal. You got to get back to normal. And what are the conditions that started where you started from, the normal? Mm. So anyway, this phrase that I picked up from that work was, I made a bookmark. I even brought it, Brian. I have a bookmark called, "It's Not What's Wrong With You, It's What Happened To You." Mm. And that was a really powerful phrase that really led me for a long time. And then at one point I was using it and I'm like, something's not right with this. I am assuming all of those deficit ideas about trauma, and it's not what's wrong with you. Well, you know, I'm already saying there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that part really engaged me, and that's how I got to speaking with Professor Ginwright and really engaging in this idea. So we customize our work for all of our schools. We go in and we talk to the principals and the families and the educators and the kids, and it's like, what is going to be effective in an engagement here? How are we going to work in the school, in the community, and stay there? Sean talks about this a lot, the idea of relationships that you create, and they have to go from transactional to transformational. The only way to be into a transformational experience is if you get deep into it and you really care and you really empathize with our students. And
so what's the context in the New York City public schools? Do you work in particular schools with kids who identify or present with particular traumas?
It depends. Sometimes, we'll go in and, there will be bereavement or a shooting or something, or a storm, as it were. But we also go in and start engaging in this deeper way of the social-emotional conversation that we have. It's not just to heal you, you're good, you have your 5 sessions, your 10 sessions, you're on our caseload, you're good. It's a much more engaged approach to giving them, a bigger picture, and not just even just, let's get you to college or something like that. It's like you have to think way beyond mm-hmm. a full picture, a full life, and that they, young people particularly, want to know that that's available to them.
Listeners, we can take a few phone calls if anybody wants to chime in or has a story or a question about an approach to healing from individual traumas in children that is rooted in their social context and in community, as well as individual psychological engagement. You hear that's the distinction that's being made by our guests. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Has anyone listening been personally helped by this kind of approach after a trauma at some point in your life, or wish you had that available maybe when you were a kid after something horrible, or maybe another practitioner in the field who'd like to weigh in or ask a question? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for David Kenner, Director of Development for Counseling in Schools, that New York-based nonprofit, and Sean Ginwright, Education and Africana Studies Professor at San Francisco State University, including author of Hope and Healing in Urban Education. And Professor Ginwright, you also wrote that healing-centered engagement is culturally grounded and views healing from trauma as a restoration of identity. Where does identity and cultural grounding come in?
Yeah, when we talk about trauma, oftentimes trauma is focused on the acute exposure to various forms of violence or natural disasters. But we know that there are, for young people of color, there are a number of types of trauma that affect their well-being. And so when I talk about trauma, we look at four kinds of harms that are a result from the exposure to various types of trauma. And one of those is assault on identity, that sometimes young people of color, via the policies, we know that there is policies, for example, that are affecting young people of color on the border, that are separating them from their families. We also know that some police departments profile. So those are really traumas that are a result of young people's racial and ethnic identities. We also know that there is a sense of powerlessness among young people, that they may experience this but not feel a sense of power to do anything about it. That's a second harm. The third is a sense of disconnection, that young people sometimes don't feel connected to a broader community. And then the fourth is a result of the first three, is there's a sense of hopelessness. And so when I talk about a restoration of identity, it's really building and working and talking about not just how their identity has been assaulted, but what is right about their identities. What do they see as value in their identities? That could be a gendered identity, sexual identity, racial and ethnic identity. But the point is that by restoring identity with young people, we also restore their humanity. And that's important for us to really consider in the healing process.
Let's take a phone call. Thomas in Newark. You're on WNYC. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how are you? I just wanted to tell Dr. Jenner, I just thank you. You know, I've been in meetings, I work at Eagle Academy here in Newark, and we've been in meetings a lot with the trauma-informed and deep in the weeds, and it's trauma-informed. In one meeting, I said, we're working with young people, so where's the joy in all this? Where's the wonder? Where's all the stuff that's supposed to be about children? And to hear you and to read your stuff, and I was turned on to your stuff by Sean Dove, and when I heard your stuff, I was like, wow, that's what I'm talking about. So I just want to thank you for the work that young people definitely are a lot more than the trauma they're facing. So I just wanted to say thank you. Keep doing the work.
All right. Thomas, thank you
much
so much.
Much appreciated.
Great.
Catherine in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I really appreciate this doctor's approach in schools. I run a wellness mindfulness program in Brooklyn and Manhattan public schools. And I like this notion that there isn't a one-size-fits-all general approach, and that with every school, it takes a bit of customization and to see what the needs actually are in the school. And that it's not necessarily focused around just the kids' traumas, but sort of helping them to sharpen some tools so that they can not only help themselves, but also bring it to their community and their families and things like that. So I really appreciate the work you're doing and the points that you've made today.
All right. Thank you. So two callers with just appreciation and no follow-up question. So, David, I will ask you to tell us about the event and exhibit coming up at the School of Visual Arts called In My Power, In My Truth, and the Future of Healing in Schools.
So we launched this initiative called The Future of Healing in Schools, very much inspired by the conversation we're having. Just as the caller said, we try to customize. So within our professional work, we bring in a lot of creative arts therapists, specifically, you know, drama, music, movement, dance, and art therapists. So this is a collaboration that we have with the School of Visual Arts. It's a gallery exhibition that's going to be up for the month, where tonight is our kickoff event for the Future of Healing in Schools. And there's going to be a series of engagements along the month where we're trying to really get the conversation going, bring these ideas to the fore, because it's easy to sort of put it into, even as Sean was saying, that category of it's just trauma or it's just one thing. And there's so much to engage here, but that hope hopefulness that the first call was talking about. That's where it lives. So we're going to do this. We're having a student-centered conversation down at NYU. We're really trying to open this dialogue. And we've been around for, you know, many, many decades, Counseling in Schools has. And we've been at this work. And the idea of social-emotional learning as it's is sort of the beginning of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, Professor Ginwright, you've written that you're trying to develop a sense of not just safety from past trauma, but of control and power in their schools and communities, a focus, at least in part, on social justice, you've written. Is there ever a risk in that focusing on social justice or politics could be a distraction from the personal work that a kid has to do?
Well, the research suggests that part of the consequences of exposure to trauma is the sense of powerless disconnection and hopelessness. And so what the healing-centered engagement process suggests is that it is important to address the acute symptoms of trauma. It's necessary, but it's really not, it's not sufficient to really begin to build a deeper understanding of the ways in which the root causes of the trauma in the first place. Research suggests is that when young people develop a sense of power and control and voice in the issues that shape their lives, that process contributes to a sense of healing. And why is that? Well, it's because by acting, they believe that they have a sense of control over uncontrollable situations. That is a significant stress reducer. It is a significant hope producer, and it allows for young people to begin to have a vision of their lives that's beyond themselves. And so while there is concern about political engagement, the research suggests that these types of processes actually produce a sense, a pathway of well-being for young people.
You're sparking responses from all over our tri-state area. We've had a caller on from New York, from New Jersey, and here's Lake in Fairfield. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lake.
Hi. I just wanted to add that I'm a social worker. I work with children, and I think as well as giving children the power of ownership over their story by talking about the positive things and not just the traumatic things that have happened to them, I think we need to give them back their childhood and help them play and create and make art and get dirty. And that, you know, these kids are born, they don't choose where they're born, they don't choose, you know, the neighborhood they live in. And it's their childhoods are taken away by circumstance, and we need to give that back to them, you know, programmatically.
And is there a technique that you most like to apply? I'm sure it's many, 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 many techniques, but is there something
I legitimately think that going outside with kids, with digging in dirt, uh-huh. if they're older kids, sports programs, uh-huh. just really doing the basic things that we think about when we think about freedom in childhood.
Thank you so much. Alicia in Franklin Square, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alicia, and I'm going to have to keep you short to about 30 seconds. Hi.
Hey, how are you? I was just curious if your guests had any feedback on any pushback they've received from tailoring, like taking an individualized approach to working with these children, and any pushback from schools in terms of like trying to standardize or generalize these approaches when uh-huh. those two things are so conflicting.
Thank you. David Kenner at Counseling in Schools.
Well, it's really not, and you're right that it's customized or individualized, but it's not in the sense that when we engage in the school community, it's not just, yes, you want to work with one-on-one with kids who are hurting or need counseling, but you're really talking about a community engagement. That's actually, the whole community school movement is around that, the idea that there are so many strengths within the school, within the community, that we need to access and build on, so that if a group of kids are involved in, you know, a circle, a healing circle, a restorative justice practice circle, that permeates. That kind of feeling gets out and it starts spreading throughout the school, throughout the grades, and it goes all the way up to the, you know, whether it's the principal or throughout. And I think that there's real support for that idea going on.
Professor Ginwright, did you have any reaction to the caller from Connecticut who was talking about the importance of physicality, getting out and having kids dig in the dirt, she said, or go out and play sports?
There is absolutely, you know, all the research suggests that healing and exposure to the pathway to healing from trauma doesn't have to hurt. And joy and happiness and fun and vision and dreaming are an important part of a healing process. Also, I think it's important for those of us who are social workers and therapists and working with young people that we can't presume that we can provide healing with young people without our own healing as adults. And so, yes, I agree that getting out of to really shift the narrative and the context of which we think what we think healing looks like in the context of a one-on-one in some room, that providing opportunities for young people mm-hmm. to play, to dream, to create, to reimagine, all of these things are significant
and
in
I
a
have
healing
to
process.
Jump in because we're really out of time, and I want to give David a chance to say one more time how people can see the events at School of Visual Arts. I want to thank Sean Ginwright from San Francisco State and author of Hope and Healing in Urban Education, and David Kenner, Director of Development for Counseling in Schools, a New York nonprofit that works in New York City public schools. Real quick, how can people participate this month?
Real simple. Just go to counselinginschools.org. There's links all over the place. There's futureofhealing.org, but it's really easy to get there, and thank you for...
It's basically an exhibit that's up most of this month.
It's an exhibit and
SBA.
Some conversations that are going on throughout the month, and the calendar's up there. So.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.